Okay. Well, this is Jen Yeager, and I'm speaking with Jack Thomas. And this is an interview for Seldovia's Project Jukebox and the In Our Own Words project. And it is July 18th, 2016. And we are speaking at Jack's house, known as Hag's Nook. And it is about 10:40 in the morning. And Jack, can you talk just a little bit about how you ended up in Seldovia, where you came from, and why you came here?
Well, we were logging in California, and it just got terrible down there. You couldn't do nothing. So I just got on an airplane one day and flew to Anchorage. And from there, why, I bought an old car and drove down to Homer. Then I talked to Kenny Arndt, a contractor in Homer. He said, well, I got a job out to King Cove. You want to go out there? I said, yeah. So I went out to King Cove for probably a month and a half, maybe 2 months, putting in the water system. And so then I come back, and the Japs had started logging up here. So me and Jack Hopkins, we went to work for them and worked up the Jack loft there.
So when you say you just took an airplane up to Anchorage, was that a commercial flight?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back the next time, him and I flew up in his little Luscombe airplane up the highway. That was quite an experience.
And was that his plane or yours, or did you own it together?
It was his.
Were you a pilot also?
Oh, I could fly. I never did get a license or anything.
Did he teach you to fly?
Yeah.
So just kind of use the Alaska Highway as your your map?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about all there was then. Or you could buy all kinds of charts, but there was none of them right.
That probably would not be too helpful then, would it?
No. We got fouled up at Smith River, Canada. Well, the weather got bad, and we found this great, big, enormous airstrip. Even had lights on it and everything. The weather was real bad, so we landed there, and they took us in like puppy again. Come to find out, it was an old refueling station for the bombers when they were taking them across. And they had fuel, they had everything. I know, we stayed there a couple of days until the weather got good, and then we come on down.
And so the first time you came up, you and Jack Hopkins both came up that time?
No, I come up alone.
And with how much warning? Did you just kind of decide one day and get on a plane, or had you thought about it?
I just went out. We went to, I can't think of that place out of L.A. there where I flew from.
So I think I'd heard a story one time that Jack had to go to your house in California and tell your wife, oh, by the way, your husband flew to Alaska. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Just went up and bought the ticket and got on the plane and away you went, huh?
Yeah. Well, we'd been working down there. Flood control and stuff around San Bernardino, and Jackie got a big check, so we cashed it, and he gave me my wages, and away I went. But I couldn't believe when I got up here what money you could make.
Do you remember about what year that was?
Oh, that must have been about 66, probably 67.
Okay. So kind of the early oil years?
Right after the earthquake. And that water system we put in out there at King Cove, it was all brand new. We built a dam and everything.
Was that a project that was because of the earthquake, some reconstruction work that's happening?
Part of it was, and part of it is just old. They had three canneries there then. So they needed the water. Mm. I come in from work one night and walked down the boardwalk to where the store was. And laying on the boardwalk out in front was a great big brown bear.
Oh, really?
And I asked the guy, I said, the store, I said, what the hell happened? Well, he said, that bear tried to get in the store, and he said, I had a rifle hanging on the wall for sale there. And ammunition, he said, I loaded it up and blew that bear away. He did too. Boy, it was a big bear.
Had you ever seen anything like that before?
No. I ain't seen anything like it since. Mm.
That big, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So were you born and raised in California?
Yeah.
And when did you meet Jack Hopkins?
Oh, him and I went to work together probably in, maybe 60. 59 or 60, somewhere right in there. He had a logging outfit of his own then, and I worked for him.
We must have gotten along pretty well if you decided to move to Alaska together.
Oh, yeah. That was what we used to fight, but didn't mount the mountain.
And so you went out to King Cove and worked on the water system there. That was your first job in Alaska?
Yeah.
And that was for Kenny Arndt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How had you heard about Homer?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody told me about Homer, mm-hmm. End of the road. I had enough money left once I got to Anchorage. I got to look around. There was an old car lot, and I bought a Chevrolet, 49 Chevrolet, I think. And drove it down to Homer. Yeah, that was weird. this Jack Kennedy, well, more than Jack Kennedy, was his uncle, I forget. But anyway, he was working out there on ferry dock. He had a crane. So I went and asked him about work. Well, he said, I don't have anybody. He said, I'm sure that Kenny Arndt would hire you if you can run equipment. Well, I said, no problem there. So I asked him, Kenny Arndt, oh yeah, he said, you meet me. I'll fly you out there tomorrow. So that was that. Got in his airplane, away we went.
Out to King Cove.
Mm-hmm.
Did Alaska look like you expected it to look?
Not really.
And so when you first came to Seldovia, you were working out at Jackaloff area with the loggers out there, right?
Yeah.
And could you drive out to Jackaloff right away? Or was
no.
So how did you get back and forth?
We flew with Bob Gruber. Every day we fly out and fly back.
And so you were staying in town here at first?
Yeah.
Was that in the trailers?
Up at the lodge, yeah.
Up at the lodge?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
first, and then they, the, can't think of his name, the guy that was working for, he bought them trailers, moved them in down there.
Okay, so it was the trailer camp that was kind of down by the dock in that area?
Mm-hmm.
And then when the road got put in to out to Jackaloff, did those same trailers then get moved out the road?
No. Well, maybe one or two of them might have.
But it was kind of a little trailer village out there too, right?
Yeah, I had a trailer there at Jackaloff. A little one, I didn't know, big, but big enough.
And you were there with your wife, Marge, and your two girls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they rode the school bus every day.
Is that the only time there ever was a school bus in Seldovia? Was for getting the Jackaloff kids into town?
Yeah, that's the only one I know of.
Yeah, that's the only context I've ever heard of for a school bus.
Well, at that time there was, two or three kids at the NOAA station, and then I had two, somebody else had two there on McDonald's Spit.
And then didn't Jack Hopkins end up being the bus driver for a little bit?
No, Mitch and I forget who else was driving school bus. Okay. No, Jack didn't do it.
Okay, because he was probably logging with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so how many years were you out in Jackaloff?
Oh, two anyway.
Was that until the logging kind of finished up?
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than following the logging somewhere else, you decided to stay in Seldovia, right?
Well, crab fishing was really good then. I went to work for Josie on the Prima.
Okay, Josie Carlo.
Big bucks.
And that was Tanner Crab or King Crab?
King Crab, right out here.
You didn't have to go to the Bering Sea?
No. Yeah, I think we went out a little earlier than we generally did, and we just loaded that boat right now. Come in, unloaded the canyon, went back out and loaded it again.
Really? And the Primus was a pretty good sized boat, wasn't it?
78 feet, I think.
Well, 78-foot boat will hold a lot of crab, I think.
Oh, yeah, it had a tremendous fish hole. It was a great old boat. Tough.
Who else fished on that with you?
Oh, there was Johnny Sarakov. Not too many different ones. Well, Roy Hanson. Somebody else, I forget now.
And you were mostly working the deck?
Well, I was an engineer, but.
So you were responsible for keeping it all running?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm not surprised. I should have thought that you'd be the engineer, because you're pretty well known for your mechanical abilities.
Well, I sure didn't know nothing about the ocean or fishing at the time.
Probably learned pretty quick.
But Josie put up with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's easy to work for, no problem there.
And he's a pretty good skipper, I think, too,
right? Oh, yeah.
Because he kind of grew up on the ocean,
mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah, I talked to him, a year or two ago. I think he wasn't much more than a teenager when he
started
captaining his own boats.
Mm-hmm. They always tell a story about him. He he was across fishing, and he had the dynamite kid. Wasn't very big. Anyway, boy, he loaded it up, and then he started across with it. And he got down there to the dock, Wakefield's dock. Meant to pull in there and back her down, and he sunk it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because it was so loaded?
Yeah. When he backed it down, that was too much. Stern went right on there. I don't think he ever did live that.
Yeah, it's always hard when you do something like that with a big audience. On the other hand, if you're going to sink a boat, you might as well sink it at the dock.
Yeah.
And head out in the middle of the inlet. Mm-hmm. So how many years did you fish?
Just that one was real good, and then we just caught them all, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Killed it right off. There was spurts later on that was pretty good, but I didn't worry about them much.
Mm-hmm. It never came back the way it was.
Mm-mm.
And you must have been building this place right about that time.
No.
No?
Okay. No, I bought this from Josie's sister.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It must have been 70, somewhere along in there, 71.
So that was after you fished?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There was a little shack of a house where this is now. We lived in it for a year or so. And then I decided to build. I built the shop first, too.
And you've got some big timbers in this house that don't look like they're local to me.
Well, they are in a way.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be an old dock, went out down there about where they built this pavilion.
Okay.
And it run out there a little ways. I got to looking at it one day, and these timbers are all dug through, and that's what they had up underneath there. But they had them all creosoted and tarred. So anyway, I had that crane, I decided to go get them, and I went down there, and we brought them up here and set them up and took the chainsaw sawmill and took all that outside off. That's the way they turned out.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah, they're dug for being.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to beat that. So that was that the dock that before they built kind of the system of docks that's there now, there was one that kind of ran out at a little bit of an angle?
Yeah, I think it did.
Okay, so that's what these came from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we've got pictures of that.
No, it had been abandoned for years. I don't think I even asked him, but yeah, this one down there tore it down.
Was it still in the water, or they had started taking it apart?
Oh, it was still upright.
Mm-hmm. Probably about one of the few ways you could get beams this size into Seldovia, right?
Cause mm-hmm.
That's always been a challenge here, is getting materials.
Well, I got some timbers there. You can go look there, laying along the wall there. I cut them out of spruce.
From spruce?
Yeah, take a look. I was always going to build a island in here with them, and never did get around to it.
Yeah, I can see them kind of laying along the side of the wall there.
Yeah.
This is some good-sized spruce.
Yeah.
And was that a chainsaw mill also?
Yeah. Yeah, Lloyd Wheeler, he had a real good chainsaw mill. And that's what we use.
Okay, that's Chris Wheeler's father?
Mm-hmm.
And what did Lloyd do for a living?
He was a timber faller.
So Chris grew up here also?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. And so can you tell me a little bit more about Jack Hopkins and what he did here after the logging finished up?
Well, he got into this pilot business for these oil companies.
Mm-hmm. Marine pilot?
Yeah. So he could see where they were running that pilot boat all the way out from Homer and clear halfway up the inlet to put a pilot on the boat. And he thought, oh, Christ, that's no good. So he then angled away and they hired a helicopter to take him out and set him on the boat. Well, I got too much for him one time and they crashed out there and he drowned.
He drowned?
Mm. Or froze to death.
Yeah. So he started doing the marine pilot work about as soon as the logging finished up?
Well, yeah, shortly afterward. He was sharp. He could learn anything in just no time at all.
Mm-hmm. What was he like?
Well, he was a good guy.
So did he bring his kids up here also, or were they born here?
Well, see, Jim's boys were all born here, and he adopted a girl or two.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, I think I said Jim, but I meant Jack.
No, they were born in California.
Okay.
Bill, Tom, and Jim were all born in California. Mm-hmm.
Well, you must have thought Seldovia was a pretty good place if both families decided to stay here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it about Seldovia that made you want to stay?
Do whatever you wanted to do. Yeah, there was nobody to bother you much.
Well, I think one of the other things that people think about with some of the work that you've done around here, of course, is your work on the roads. And it's always been a little, because I'm new, it's a little confusing to me as to when which roads were opened. Like the road to the Outer Coast and out to Rocky Bay in that area. I think, didn't you do some work on that one?
Oh, yeah, I helped build it.
Mm-hmm. You helped build it at the very beginning?
Yeah. There was a construction company here, I forget what the hell the name, I'll think of it now. They actually had the contract with the Japs to build it. And I worked for them some. But the deal was that the road, the money that it cost to build the road, they put it onto the timber. So actually the timber didn't cost nothing.
So that was the one that went all the way to the Outer Coast?
Oh yeah.
And so did they log all the way out there?
Oh yeah. Clear to Windy Bay.
Mm, okay. And so after the logging was finished, did that road get maintained?
No, for a little while. I kept it up for a while. Mm-hmm. Just not that much.
That's a big project for one person. That's a lot of miles.
Well, I was doing it all on my own, too. Fuel, stuff like that.
Didn't you tell me that you got the property up on Red Mountain about the same time you got Ringo?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, I lost him up there. Them four-wheeler guys that were gonna rent the four-wheelers, I was up there with them, and I was riding one of their four-wheelers, and he ran right out in front of me, and I ran over him.
Oh, no.
So then he took off up, I couldn't stop him, he took right off up the mountain. Scared, mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out what. So anyway, it was about a week, 5 or 6 days anyway. Everybody went up there and called him and left food for him. So I'd already moved that cabin up there about part way. And this guy, I went out there one day and this guy was way down there by the, below the switchbacks there in the creek. And here's Ringo with him. And so I stopped and I said, what's going on with my dog? Oh, I said, that dog was under that trailer up there. And he said he about starved to death. So he said, I fed him and he followed me. He had a dog or two and he said he followed me down the hill. So I picked him up again, made sure I didn't run over him no more.
He's a good little dog.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you move that trailer up?
Huh?
How did you move that trailer up? It's a pretty twisty, windy road to move a building up.
Oh, I pulled it up there with a truck.
Mm-hmm. You had it on skids or something, or?
No, it was on tires.
Oh, okay.
I jacked it up and took the trailer out from underneath it. It come from, because it in the bay, Jack Hopkins, or Jim Hopkins, done the work out there, a lot of it. So he got them two connectors, and he asked me if I wanted one of them. I said, you bet. Well, I took it and took it up there. He's got the other one up here, saved for a bunkhouse, but he's never used it.
Were they being used as bunkhouses at Kositsna Bay also?
Well, I think one had one. He's got one. I had was a lab. Had all kinds of sinks and drain boards. I don't know what else. But it was part of their lab.
Okay, so when they built the buildings they have now, then they had those
got rid of them,
extras.
Yeah.
And so Red Mountain, was that just kind of a place to go up and hang out? Or because you never did any mining up there.
No, right? No, but I had a claim there.
For chromite?
Mm.
Did you have to designate what your claim was for?
Well, yeah, you gotta, but I just told them copper or chrome. Oh, I've lost it now. It was like a lease. You gotta pay so much a year.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't have the money to monkey with it, so I let it go.
Your building and your barbecue and stuff are still up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you make that barbecue?
Yeah.
And I've heard some stories about some pretty good 4th of July parties up there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you do that?
Well, we must have had 3 or 4 years.
Fireworks and all?
Yeah. Rick used to go up there and shoot his cannon off.
Oh, really? That memorial that just happened for Craig Higman, for Higgy, was that Rick's cannon that was being shot off there, or was that Higgy's?
I think Rick had his. Mm-hmm. I think they had Higman's, too.
Okay. I did not know that there were two cannons in Seldovia.
Oh, yeah.
Over in the museum in Seward, they have a cannon that's from Seldovia, too. I keep making the case that we should try and get it back.
Yeah. I'd like to get that locomotive back that's up there at Pratt Museum. That was set out there at Jackalaw for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What the hell's his name? Leo Rollins. He's stole it and hauled it off to Homer.
Leo Rollins?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what was... Now, this is the first I've heard of a locomotive. Were there tracks?
Oh, yeah. They used to be from... Well, you can't hardly tell where the old cookhouse was there at Jackalaw, clear down to where they dumped into the barge. It was a narrow gauge railroad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. And so that's what that locomotive was from?
Yeah, it sat out there for years. Well, old Leo, he's quite a junkie. He hauled stuff off everywhere. He had the equipment to do it with. He'd load it up and haul it off.
You'd have to have some serious equipment to move a locomotive.
Yeah. Oh, it was a little gasoline thing. It wasn't all that big. Pretty big one.
Mm-hmm. And so, do they use that? That was for moving the chromite, for moving the ore?
Yeah.
So that was probably from the mining days back in the 40s and 50s? I guess it was the 1940s, wasn't it?
Well, during the wartime. Yeah, there used to be a loading chute in the tunnel and stuff just this side of it, 'cause it's in the bay. Well, you can't see it anymore even. There used to be a building there, or a couple buildings, and that's where they loaded the finished ore on the barges.
Didn't they have, there was some sort of chute that they could kind of just drop it down onto the barges?
Yeah, it was a kind of tunnel deal made down there, and that's how they dumped it in there.
And what about the logs at Jackalaw? How did they get them out?
Loaded them on ships.
Right there in Jackalaw mm-hmm. Bay, or did they have to move them
out a little bit? Right in the bay, mainly.
How big a boat can get into Jackalaw?
Well, them were pretty good-sized ships. Mm-hmm. But I think they had to really watch the tides there. Mm-hmm.
So did they load them kind of where the dock is now?
No, they rafted them and towed them out alongside the ship and picked them up with a ship winch.
Okay, so the ship, it would kind of stay in the deepest part of the bay?
Yeah.
Probably? Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said logging went on for just 2 or 3 years?
More than that. 5 or 6, I think.
And so that was in the late 60s, early 70s?
70s, yeah. Cliff Christian was the Christian Brothers logging, and he was the guy we worked for. He was a hell of a nice guy. Good to work for, too.
And so you've mentioned the Japanese, so did they have a subcontract?
Yeah, Christian contracted the logging from the Jap.
And then were most of the logs headed to Japan then?
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Oh, really? And mostly spruce?
Yeah. Well, they had to build that sawmill out there. They made the deal was that logs all had to be processed in Alaska, so they built that sawmill to do that.
So what was it like being able to drive to the outer coast?
Oh, it was all right. That Rocky River, you know, probably the best silver fishing in the world.
Really?
And they used to go out there with motor homes and trailers and every other thing, tourists.
The road must have been in pretty good shape if you could get a motorhome out there.
Oh, it was, yeah.
And I don't even know if you can get a bicycle out there anymore.
Yeah, it's probably growed in too now. We used to fly from here to, well, right to the head of Rocky River, where Rocky River runs into the bay there. And we had an airstrip there. And we'd fly from here every morning, go over the mountain there, land over there and work all day.
That was with Bob Gruber?
Yeah.
I've heard he was a good pilot.
Oh, he was.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best. Me and him and Hopkins, we went off on a drunk one time with the airplane. That was something else.
All three of you were drunk?
Yeah, we went to Anchorage and proceeded to really get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
They was looking all over Alaska for us, but we was hid out.
You were hid out in Anchorage?
Mm-hmm.
Hiding in the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
And who was looking for you?
Oh, Midge, she, Gruber, Bob's wife, she was all worried to death about it.
He was probably sober when he was flying, though, right?
Well, that time he wasn't. Well, he was pretty sensible guy, really. Didn't need to worry about him much.
So how big were the logging crews that were going back and forth every day? Because I don't know how big a plane he was flying, but it seems like that would be a lot of trips.
Two trips.
Just two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
how? 206.
206? So he was probably hauling just about four or five people, tops, right?
Yeah. Six at the most, with your junk.
So it had to have been a pretty small logging crew then.
Yeah, it went all that big.
And just landed over on the beach there?
No, in the road. There was Martha Lake right there. And then they built a straight stretch of road long enough. Kept it cleaned up. And that was our airstrip.
Is Martha Lake, is that real close to the coast?
Yeah.
Just kind of right there?
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen a lake on the satellite pictures that I kind of wondered if that was it because I didn't see much else. It looks like it's not real large.
No, it's not.
But yeah, there wasn't a name for it, so I wasn't sure if it was the right one or not.
Well, it was named after Martha Walland.
Martha Walland?
Yeah.
From or Walland.
Port Graham. Roger. Roger Walland's wife.
Okay. And the Silvers run up into the lake there?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's probably still pretty good silver fishing over there.
Oh, yeah, it's the best.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if anyone still goes over there? And?
Oh, yeah, there's people go over there with boats and stuff. That's the only way to get there anymore.
Does anyone fish it commercially or just for personal use?
No, just for private use.
What kind of changes have you seen in the fishing industry in Saldovia while you've been here? And, you know, right now there's a couple, three large boats based here, but that's probably something that's changed in your time.
Oh, yeah. There was the KDK, Rosie G. It was two or three big boats.
The KDK, that was the one that was named for Katie Kashevaroff, right?
Right.
And whose boat was that?
That was Gordon Giles.
And is it the Guardian? Is that his boat too?
Yeah. Well, he had another one in between there that sank too.
And how about the Rosie G?
It belonged to Jack Parks and Bob Ringsted, and I don't know. There was three or four of them owned it.
Mm-hmm. Was it the Kona Kai based here too?
Yeah, that was Josie's brother.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to remember what his name was.
Little Joe run it.
So it would have been his uncle that he was running it for?
Huh?
So
Howard,
it would have been
Howard,
his
uncle.
Okay. Oh, Howard, of course.
Yeah, I hated to see him go. He was a good kid then. Mm-hmm. Little Joe.
And Laura S. has been here for a long time too, I think, right?
Well, yeah, since they built it. Mm-hmm. But it's been a hell of a good boat. Mm-hmm. And they work it too. Swicks on top of that.
Well, for not having much boat experience when you moved here, it sounds like you've gotten to know them pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had a boat of your own, even just a little one?
No. Never wanted one.
Not even a skiff?
Oh, I've had a skiff, yeah. Mm-hmm. I put a bow and a new bottom on the Hellion, was Ken Swick's boat. And it was just an old landing craft. But I put a bow on it, mm-hmm. New bottom. And they fished it here for 3 or 4 years and really made money with it.
Oh, really? So it was
then they took it out westward. That whatchamacallit, father, I can't think of it now. Anyway, it sunk and drowned the whole boat of them.
Really?
Well, that ain't no place for a little boat.
Mm-hmm. Is that part of the reason you never wanted one?
No.
Or it just wasn't the right thing for you?
Mm-mm. Yeah, the first thing, I used to get seasick too. I didn't care for that much.
So you spent, I know that you're kind of known, you know, for welding and mechanical work and so on. Did that kind of become another livelihood for you?
Oh, yeah. I done odd jobs here and there too.
Mm-hmm. Always in Soldovia, or did you ever travel and run equipment anywhere else or anything?
No, mostly here.
Mm-hmm. Were you kind of self-taught with a lot of your skills?
Huh?
Were you kind of self-taught with some of that?
Yeah, I remember. Nobody ever showed me much about welding. I just started doing it.
Mm-hmm. And you were kind of the only welder here for a long time, weren't you?
Yeah.
So I imagine that probably kept you pretty busy. A lot of people bringing you things to repair or fabricate. Or
I'm still running on that generator. I can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unusual this time of year. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was more of a winter thing, running on the generator. I don't know why they're running it right now. Jerry Willard, who used to run it, is that someone that you knew pretty well?
Oh, yeah.
What was he like?
Oh, he was a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't hold his liquor, though.
Mm-hmm.
No, he turned into an animal.
Oh, really? I heard he was really musical.
Well, he'd play a piano.
Who were some of the other people that you used to spend some time with?
putting there, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose in Seldovia, that's you can't really avoid anybody, right?
No.
How about some of the gathering spots? You know, we're kind of down to the Linwood and now, but I think there have been a variety of places.
Well, there used to be three or four bars here then. Damn, I can't remember the hell name of that one was down there. All right, they were actually before my time.
Mm-hmm.
The old temporary building, before urban renewal, they moved all the bars in there, three of them.
Yeah, I think I heard the other three bars in the post office or something.
Yeah, I think so.
So that must have been quite the gathering spot then.
Yeah.
Probably everybody went there.
Well, I think I'm going to go lay down for a while.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you letting me speak with you today.
All right.
And thank you very much.